again, if 60% of the people that are in the room agree that education is number one, then it's likely that education will receive a lump sum, if you will, of the 5 million. Now, if the next priority is healthcare, and that's 30% of the folks, then they'll obviously receive the second highest amount. But they won't be happy with the fact that, or I shouldn't say they won't be happy with, they obviously wouldn't feel like that by spending that amount of money, if you will, if that's what we're talking about, on education would be the best for the community as a whole. So we can absolutely engage in those discussions with everyone, and we've done that a number of times. Certainly I've posed a question on social media about the expenditure of specific money, you know, what it is that you'd like to see. And you get all sorts of ideas and priorities. But again, it's ultimately going to come down to a majority of folks coming together around one specific thing that then becomes the ultimate priority. But again, it's not though as if though that it then becomes that's what's best for the tribal membership. In this case, that's what the majority of those folks feel is what's best for the tribal membership. So it's hard to just say, well, because the majority feels it's the best for the membership, then that's what's best for the membership. That's kind of sort of what I'm getting at. I believe that over the years, there have been a lot of discussions, maybe discussions that haven't continued on for a long period of time that have been sustained. We're trying to do that. I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to get at what a lot of the priorities are. There are a lot of things that we need to address in order to get a solid foundation underneath of us that will allow us to build real pillars of strength within the community. Certainly we've been lacking over the years in addressing a lot of the issues that we've had: law enforcement, infrastructure, community development, economic development. You know, we're focused, my administration is focused on trying to address all of those things in order for folks to be able to feel secure in and have some level of trust in tribal government to be able to say, okay, let's have that discussion about the expenditure of a certain amount of money that we have that is going to best benefit the community. Prior to doing any of those things, we have to make sure we have a solid foundation, and that's the work that I've been doing, and also the Tribal Council has been doing over the past year and a half, and I would say my time on the council over the last 6 years, that has been my focus as well. So I don't think that we're not in agreement. I just think that maybe how you go about establishing those community goals might be a little different.
Oh, yeah. It definitely is different. That's why I was bringing it up. Because you said you're implying that you couldn't see another way of doing it, and there is.
Oh, no. I'm not sure I implied that there's only one way of doing it. Certainly, if I was to say that the way that I do it is the only way to do it, I'd be quite foolish, frankly. And that's, you're not going to get very far in life by suggesting that my way is the only way, certainly. If there's a better way of doing, if there's a better way of proposing a budget or putting a budget together, I'm open to that. Makes my life easier. Obviously, we'll have a more positive impact on the community. That's what I'm interested in. Obviously, a lot of things that we've done over the years as a tribe have maybe could have been done a different way and had a different result. So yeah, obviously I'm open to exploring anything and everything that's going to have the best impact on the tribal membership and the community as a whole.
Okay. All right. What are the things that has impacted the tribal community and the whole community is the work on Caltrans has been doing in downtown. That's, I try to contact Caltrans public relations people, and they're kind of standoffish, and they say they're going to reply to me in 10 days, and that's about 10 days ago. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard from them. I was just wondering, why did they schedule this time of year? And why did they schedule it from working all the way from Loop Road all the way down to Hostler Creek Road? a bridge and tore it up the whole section with. I thought there was supposed to be some sort of consultation where we have input on how they do their work.
Sure. We actually met with Caltrans. It was about 2 weeks ago, maybe 10 days ago. Asked those same questions. I mean, if you look at what's happening downtown with the curbs and the wood chips and all those things, no, what in the heck's going on? Why is that? Why does that look the way that it looks? And that there's very limited activity, and it's not really making a whole heck of a lot of sense to anybody around here, including myself and the tribal council. We had that discussion, and then the issue with tearing up the road, and then not coming back to repair it in a timely manner. That's not acceptable to any of us. So brought them in. What they indicated to us was that the asphalt plant that operates up in Willow Creek, the Mercer Fraser plant, the asphalt couldn't meet the specifications that are required to lay it on the ground anywhere, here or wherever it was. That was throughout the summer. Days and weeks and months went by. The work scheduled to be done. Finally, the plant in Willow Creek was able to meet the specification this late in the year, and they began the process of removing the asphalt from the highway and then replacing it with new asphalt. That's the explanation that we've received, which we sort of are. The only other asphalt plant near here is actually out in near Lolita, I believe, way out there. Or there's one up in Oregon. And so they have a real difficulty in keeping the asphalt a certain temperature, having it travel all of that way. Now, this is what they told us. So until the plant in Mercer Fraser became operational, they were not able to do any of the work that they had scheduled to do. Obviously, they're getting closer to having it done. I mean, there's still a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done, and they are working towards that. Now, we've explored and have talked about an asphalt plant here in Hoopa. Now, there's been a lot of opposition to that. Ultimately, I don't think that's something that will be realistic. It might. There's still some discussions around that that are happening. No vote is scheduled yet in order to get that off the ground. But if we did have an asphalt plant here, if we had the infrastructure and the capacity to be able to do a lot of this work here, there'd be a huge economic benefit, obviously, to the tribe in way of selling the resources and materials to produce the asphalt, as well as having some percentage of the work that's being done that could alleviate some of those problems. But that's what we were told, and they're working to address that. Now, as far as the downtown project goes, so the tribe has been engaged in the process of the redesign of downtown for a long time now, and we're able to secure funding for a lot of the work over the last several years to fix the drainage, to widen it and do a lot of different things. So we have engineered surveyed plans that are in place, and we're working towards addressing a lot of those things. Well, Caltrans came in and determined that there was a need for a slowing down of traffic related to some of the accidents that had happened where folks were, you know, unfortunately getting run over and things of that nature. So in conjunction with the tribe's downtown enhancement plan and the funding that we received, they overlaid the curb project and all of those other things in order to make it safer, make it slower, and allow for folks to be able to walk and do those things and not have folks driving at a high rate of speed. Well, in the construction and the survey of the curbs, it appears that the contractor didn't line up the survey or the curbing with the tribe's plan. But they had worked together, Caltrans and the tribe, to make sure that the two plans were cohesive. Caltrans is now, and the tribe are in discussions about what are you going to do to address that. That's why there's been this tremendous delay in what is happening, because of a dispute in the survey. So what we said is, look, this needs to be solved, needs to be addressed immediately. We don't want to have to go to the director of Caltrans in Sacramento and inform him of our displeasure, but we will. And I sent an email, and he responded and said, we're reviewing it all in a timely fashion, and we will address the issue promptly. That was over the last week or so. So again, there are a lot of plans in place, and what I've asked for is a public hearing, a public scoping session to show the community and the tribal membership what is the ultimate vision, I guess, or what is the ultimate portrait that's going to be painted for those curbs and everything else that's happening downtown. Because it can't just be the curbs and this sort of bulky, entrance into the mini mart and other areas. We need to understand what it is that Caltrans is doing and the disputes that have arisen as a result of what appears to be a survey fluke of some kind by 6 inches to a foot that has caused all of these delays. So we are scheduling and planning a public hearing soon to be able to lay all of that out on the table in order for everyone to be able to better understand why those types of things are happening and what the plan is to address them going forward.
Well, okay. Yeah. I was just wondering, well, how did this all happen? And I could see, okay, the delay, they tear up that much of the road in one fall swoop. You know, I don't think that would happen in Eureka. I don't think that would happen in other parts of the country. It's just because that's our only highway. That's our only road. And to block off the traffic at far ends where we have to get across that bridge, there's only one road. There's no detours. We weren't able to detour around any of that construction. It was very poor planning or execution, I should say.
Sure. We're not happy about it. I'm not happy about it. I sit in the delays. A lot of other folks sit in the delays. A lot of people's vehicles are, having alignment issues and tires and everything else. I'm not okay with that. You know, we've filed complaints with Caltrans, hauled them into the council chambers and asked them to get it figured out. So, but at the same time, there are a tremendous amount of construction projects happening. I think of Buckhorn, for instance. That entire mountain was gone, and we were driving over dirt for quite a length and experiencing tremendous delays each time that I drove through there. There's no comparison, obviously, in tearing down Buckhorn versus tearing up the highway in Hoopa. Nonetheless, you know, we're not happy about it, and it was addressed, and it is being addressed.
Yeah, I guess that's what you call progress, and it has a cost.
Or just the reconstruction of the highway, is progress or not.
Well, yeah, there's always that question, well, why did they have to do that at all? And there's, Walmart's up way up there, and how do you get those big trucks there in a more efficient time? I had this this another discussion with somebody I just happened to talk with at a conference I was at, and heard that. And I said, well, yeah, I live up in the Hoopon. So, oh, gee, I went to the coast. Me and my husband went to the coast. We live inland. And we went around 299. Boy, that sure took us a long time. And this is before the construction. And so it's kind of this mindset. You got to get there, and you got to get there fast. If you live way over there, but you want to go way over here, you want to get there fast. It's just mind-boggling to me.
Sure.
Okay. But you did hint on that, and that was another question I had about is the asphalt plant, because I was getting vegetables downtown from one of the merchants there, and one of the street people come up to me, knowing that I had been going to these hearings and stuff, and they said, well, Joe, are they going to do the asphalt plant? I said, I don't know. Decision has been made. Still waiting. He said, well, you know, I don't think it's going to be a good idea. You can't eat asphalt. So, because I've always been, I wonder, when we hear these presentations about things, what we don't hear addressed is what are the worst possible outcomes? We don't address that. We don't bring that up into the discussions. And then we somehow this mediation, or how do you call it, mediate the issues, seems superficial. Like, well, yeah, we're going to do it anyway, but we're going to do this instead.
Yeah, and in this case with the asphalt plant, the proposal came from a gentleman out in Fortuna, you know, Lolita area out there, of moving the plant here to Hoopa. Obviously, we'll have to go through a permitting process that identifies the obvious pitfalls, identifies the cleanliness, if you will, of the plant and the potential pollutants of a plant and all of the other environmental impacts that come along with that. We have had about 3 public hearings related to the asphalt plant. You know, folks have come in and raised those same questions that you have, raised the same concerns. They're concerns for me. They're concerns for the tribal council. There's no doubt about it. But what they've been doing and what folks there at the within the transportation department have been doing is working to provide as much information as possible related to the implementation and operation of a potential asphalt plant. Putting all of that information out there, putting it all on the table, looking at whatever the legal requirements are for allowing a certain pollutant into the air, that's all been presented, will ultimately be required as a part of, again, the permitting process. If at a certain point the tribal council decides that they want to move forward and take a vote on the issue, my pledge is that in advance of that, we will have as much information available to the tribal membership and the community for that matter, available and present for folks to be able to see and to make everyone available to answer all the questions that come up, and you'll be able to offer your comments, concerns, whatever that might be related to the potential implementation, construction, and operation of an asphalt plant. Is it a front burner issue for the tribal council at this time? I would say no. We offered tribal members the opportunity to take a tour down to, I think it's Carlotta, I think that's the place.
Yeah, Carlotta.
Carlotta. That's where it is. Not Lolita. Carlotta. I think it's down in that Hydesville area. Anywhere. Same basic place. We had one individual who took the trip, and she indicated that she was pretty impressed with the plant and the sort of the way that it was operated and the cleanliness of it, if you will. So again, there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of fanfare, wasn't a whole heck of a lot of participation and going down and looking to see what the plant was all about. So again, it's not something that, you know, in a matter of a few weeks, next council meeting, boom, it's going to be on the table and be approved or not approved. So, but it is out there. I mean, like I mentioned before, we are exploring any number of options for economic growth here on the reservation. We see that obviously as a high priority. I certainly do. It's incumbent on me to be able to put together all of these different ideas and proposals and plans for the tribal council and the community and the membership to explore and be a part of. And if I weren't doing that, you know, I don't think I would be doing my job. And I guess I could segue into a recent decision by the tribal council to enter into an agreement with a company by the name of Altree. What we are exploring is the creation of a tribal corporation that would move into the modular plant. We would retool the modular plant to produce a composite material that is able to be turned into essentially plywood, so sort of a plywood-like material. We would get into the production of construction signs. We'd get into the production of posts and those types of material. Also, it would be used for siding for homes and all sorts of different things. The folks that are coming in are going to be here, I think it's the week of the 14th, to do an exploration and sort of investigation, a second investigation of the modular plant to see what is required in order to retool the facility to bring in a new industry and hopefully move on from Hoopa Modular and the sort of unfortunate nature of that business and its ultimate failure. I mean, that's not to sugarcoat anything. Hoopa Modular has been a tremendous failure for a number of reasons, and I've seen where it's time to move on from that. We've attracted, again, this business. We've been offered a stake in the company and the production of this composite material. It's a bio-preferred material. It's made from wood fibers and plastic, and they are combined to create, like I said, a composite material that can be used in all sorts of different construction activities. So, again, you know, we've been working on a lot of different things to address a lot of different issues here on the reservation. That's what we've been tasked with, and that's what we continue to explore. The gentleman from Altree, Mr. Tony Berger is his name. He's the chairman and CEO of the company, has forwarded me a detailed project proposal, a detailed project plan, budget. We'll identify the number of jobs that will be needed, that will be created as a result of the tribal company, tribal corporation being created, and getting into the business of producing this construction material. He's also, we're also working closely with a firm from down in Central California in order to construct the financing for a lot of this, for this endeavor. So we're hopeful. We see it as, I certainly see it as a real positive step for some economic development here on the reservation, utilizing the modular facility for the value does it that it does have. It is probably our most valuable asset. If you look across the board. I mean, obviously our timber, water, and those types of things are certainly the most valuable. But as far as facilities go and those types of things, you know, the modular plant offers a tremendous amount of opportunity for growth and industry, and that's what we're pursuing. And we've entered into an agreement with the gentleman and Alltree, and we're moving forward on securing the tribal corporation some additional financing to get the project off and running. We're going to have, like I said, a public hearing around the week of the 14th of November. Between now and then, we're putting together all of the project plans and detailed budgets, and we'll be preparing a presentation.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to hearing more about that. And we get that more known about in the community. So with that, unless there's something else you'd like to talk about, then...
No, that's all I had for this evening. I always appreciate the time. I look forward to coming back and talk to you next time.
Okay. Thank you for being with us. And this is Joseph Orozco reporting for KIDE Hoopa. And you have been listening to the Hoopa Tribal Council Chairman's Report, a production of Hoopa Tribal Radio, KIDE-FM. The host was Joseph Orozco. Co-producers were Christian Marshall and Tashana Moon. Comments made were that of the speaker. This program will be posted on our website within the podcast download tab under Local News. For KIDE Hoopa, we thank you for listening.